Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
Hey, what's going on? It's Metal Shop and Metal Shop's Backstage Pass. I'm talking again with Brett Campbell from Pallbearer. They have a new album called Forgotten Days, just released this week. Awesome album. I was listening to it while traveling out of town for the weekend, and it was just like the perfect soundtrack as I was getting out to the kind of the forest area. It was just like, it was perfect soundtrack for that. But Brett is on the phone with me. He was in studio a couple years back. Obviously, no tours are happening right now, but first off, welcome to the show, and how are you doing today?
Doing all right, man. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely, man. Congratulations on the release of the album. Obviously, kind of a strange time to be dropping a record, being as it is 2020, the year of the plague. But first off, congratulations. And second, how does it feel, and what's it like on your side of things to be dropping an album amidst a pandemic?
Well, it feels weird. I mean, everything feels weird, honestly, nowadays. So it's not like this is any exception.
Yeah.
It's still cool to get it out, though. I mean, I'm always excited to release a new album. So the actual, the fact that it's out in the world now is definitely something I've been looking forward to all year. It's been something that throughout all the nonsense that we've had to deal with, it's like, well, at least we got an album coming out, you know?
Absolutely. So some artists are choosing to delay the album until they can tour. Some artists are just saying, hey, we want our fans to hear some new stuff. Was there ever a talk about, like, delaying, or did you guys just see this as an opportunity to just drop the record when you wanted?
Well, we did delay it a little bit because it was going to come out, like, early in the summer. But you know, when the lockdown happened in like March and April, you know, it just created a natural delay because, you know, pressing plants and stuff all shut down.
Yeah.
So when they opened up, they were so many weeks behind, you know, the entire length of the pandemic. And then even after the lockdown was done, the measures were still pretty strict.
Mm-hmm.
So that created a delay on its own. And then we were like, well, maybe, I mean, nobody really knew how bad the whole thing was going to be. We were like, well, maybe we can tour in the fall or something.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, once that became clearly not the case, and when, like, the pause on touring became indefinite,
mm-hmm.
we're like, you know, let's just put it out. I don't want to sit on an album for years, you know. That would feel, I mean, it's like, too frustrating. Just know that there's something done that you want to share with people, and then you can't put it out.
How? When did you sign off on the album? When was it finished? Was it finished before the beginning of the pandemic?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went into the studio November 1st in last year, 2019. So we finished mixing the album mid-December. We flew up to New York to do it there, and then it was mastered in January. So, like, all the art and everything like that was done before the lockdown. Mm-hmm. So it was ready to go. It's been ready to go.
Yeah. Well, it's an awesome album. I totally dig it, but I mean, I might be a little bit partial because I'm a big Pallbearer fanboy. I'm actually have all your guys' LPs and stuff, so I don't know if I'm the best critic.
Well, at least I know you're not going to be a harsh critic, you know. For me, that's good. For me, actually, that's not true. Sometimes the biggest fans are the harshest critics. Those are the guys you got to watch out for.
That's true. I guess, I know you guys are originally from Little Rock, Arkansas. Are you there right now? Where are you currently living in? Where are you calling me from right now?
Yeah, I'm in Little Rock right now. I live in Little Rock, and Devin and Mark live in, like, North Little Rock, which is practically Little Rock. It's such a small area. And Joe lives in Brooklyn. So
okay.
We're all in Arkansas except for Joe.
And what's it like there right now? Is there are businesses pretty open? Most people wearing masks? What's the vibe like?
Yeah, most businesses are open. Most people are wearing masks, luckily. But I live in, you know, I live in Little Rock. I don't know exactly what it's like outside of, you know, the city.
Yeah.
As much as you can call Little Rock a city. I mean, it's still pretty small. But it seems like the vast majority of people that you encounter, you know, understand the situation, you know,
yeah.
and are wearing their masks. You know, I know for a while, Arkansas, maybe a month or so ago, Arkansas had a huge wave of new cases. Like,
yeah.
we were one of the highest new cases, in the country. But
mm-hmm.
I think it's starting to kind of peter down a little bit. But I'm just being careful. I'm not going out any
yeah.
more than I have to. I really don't want to get the virus.
Absolutely, man. I haven't had it myself, at least I don't think so, but a lot of my friends have, and it does not sound like a fun situation.
No.
How have you been staying busy and sane? I mean, obviously, I'm sure doing a lot of interviews, but aside from that, how have you been staying sane, dude? Because, normally, I'm assuming you guys would probably be on a pretty big tour right now, or at least playing record release shows in support of this. How are you staying sane and busy?
Well, that's a pretty big assumption that I'm staying busy or sane.
fair enough.
No, my mental well-being has gone up and down quite a bit throughout
mm-hmm.
the year. I try to stay creative as much as possible
yeah.
and either work on Paul Bear type stuff or, you know, just kind of experiment with other types of music and just challenge myself and have fun because just making music's always fun. But there's been times where, you know, just the nonstop onslaught of bad news has just kind of gotten to me at points throughout the year where I just, you know, I don't feel like picking up my guitar or
yeah.
hooking up my synths or anything, you know, I just I can't do it. I don't feel it. But then I just try to power through that stuff. It passes and then the muse comes back. But, you know, I just try to stay busy and try to the world is looking throughout the year and it's just been unrelenting.
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's pretty easy for most people. I think most people have been dealing with probably, you know, some depression throughout the year because you'd have to be literally insane to not feel depressed by everything that's been happening.
Yeah, absolutely, man. It's been a hell of a year. Now, being someone who's kind of in the limelight as far as you're a public persona, at least for, you know, your band and being a musician and being well known for that. How comfortable do you feel about making political or social statements about, you know, the state of things or your feelings or, you know, political causes? How comfortable do you feel about that?
I feel extremely comfortable with it because I don't really separate too much of my public persona with who I am as a person.
Yeah.
So, you know, if anything, I know for a fact this annoys some people, but screw them. But you know, if I have a platform to potentially change one person's mind through some stuff that I have said and that they read in a public situation, then I feel like it's my responsibility to do so, because the stakes are very high.
Yeah.
And this isn't, you know, it's not a game, you know. Things are really dire, and I can't help myself, genuinely. I feel like I need to. I feel like it's my responsibility.
Yeah.
Whether or not it makes a difference, who knows, but I got to do it, man. Like, my music and who I am, my music is just an extension of who I am anyway. Mm-hmm. So people who say that you should keep politics out of music have been vastly missing the point of what we've been doing all along.
Yeah, tell that to Bob Dylan.
Yeah, exactly.
So I guess now that I have you on, and you mentioned that, are there any causes or organizations or nonprofits or any just ideas you'd like to shine a light on while I have you?
Man, not really. I mean, I think people can probably do a little research and find the organizations that they, you know, would want to contribute to.
Yeah.
I'm not like an expert in that, but, you know, I think that things, especially now that the, you know, there's a supermajority on the Supreme Court through all that, like, ridiculousness, you know, things are going to be hard, you know. People are going to have to vote. They're going to have to be socially active. They're going to have to fight for, you know, not even just positive change in the country, but, like, to keep from backsliding, you know, into the much worse situation than we're already in. So yeah. I think it's on every single person to do their part, because it literally requires everyone. No one person can do it by themselves, but every single person is important, and they need to do what they can.
And if you're listening right now, just know that I did not vet these questions, so he is going off the top of the head. So I am kind of just tossing them at him just out of nowhere. So that's why, you know... Exactly. So kind of off the top of our heads. But back to the topic of the album and the new album. This is your first album, I believe, on Nuclear Blast. Is that right?
Yeah, it is.
That's a pretty big deal. Like, Nuclear Blast being one of the biggest, if not the biggest, international metal labels. How did you guys get acquainted with Nuclear Blast? I'm assuming kind of just, you know, rising up from the underground and then just getting on their radars and building slowly, or how did your relationship build?
It was pretty much like that, man. It was pretty organic. We've kind of done everything to, like, you know, just slow incremental growth. Our first album got a lot more attention than anybody expected, but you know, it was still pretty distinctly underground. Mm-hmm. And you know, we've played a zillion shows since then, so we've put in the legwork to get our name out. And by the time our third record rolled around, our label at the time wasn't able to kind of, like, keep up with the physical demand for, like, actual copies of the record. And there were distribution problems overseas. Like, people weren't able to get the record without having to pay, like, absurd shipping costs and stuff. And it was just like, you know, this is dumb. Like, people shouldn't have to pay double the price of the album in order to ship it. You know, that's not cool in any way. So, Nuclear Blast licensed the album out for overseas distribution.
Yeah.
And, you know, throughout the process of touring for Heartless, we got to know those people that at Nuclear Blast, a lot of the staff there, and we really liked them. And so our contract was up, and we needed a new label anyway, and it seemed like a pretty natural move. I know we're kind of like sort of an unusual band for the label in terms of the kind of stuff that they typically put out, I guess, but I kind of like that.
Yeah.
You know, I think it shows their confidence in us, which I really appreciate. And, you know, they're not like, there's no, like, top down, you know, decrees from on high in terms of, like, what they'd like us to do. We're still operating in the same way that we always have. You know, we're fully autonomous. So, you know, it's like, if you can sign to a label with much larger resources, mm-hmm. then still do exactly what you've always done, and why not? Why not? It's better.
Absolutely, man. And you know, I agree. Like, it is, I wouldn't say a strange label for you guys, but you guys definitely stand out. But at the same time, you know, they do have bands like Paradise Lost. I could see you guys doing a tour with Paradise Lost or something like that. You know,
yeah, we toured with them in Europe a couple of years ago, or 2 or 3 years ago.
That's killer. Right on, man. Well, congratulations on releasing it on Nuclear Blast. What has the feedback been like for you? Have you noticed any bit of an increase in listening just based on the fact that it's on Nuclear Blast, maybe on more people's radars?
Yes, absolutely. My girlfriend's been keeping me up to date.
Cool.
Like, very, very actively, just like looking at like Spotify numbers, and there've been in the last like month, like several thousand new, like 40,000 plus new listeners.
That's so cool.
And which is really sick. So, you know, and that's just on Spotify. So, you know, hopefully people are also like buying the record and stuff. It seems like they are. And it seems like the vast majority of people's responses are positive. And, you know, what else can you ask for? That's great to see.
And keep in mind, metalheads still buy physical product, vinyl, and also,
yes,
with, like, more than any other genre, metalheads still buy CDs.
I know it, man. It's crazy. I'm the same way. Like, I think we all have this kind of, like, metalheads are extremely, like, intense about their love of metal.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that because I'm the same way about just, like, music. I love music, and I, like, appreciate the classic, like, physical format.
Yeah.
And I think we put a lot of thought into, like, our records presentation, the artwork, the gatefold, mm-hmm. like, the layout, every single, all the minutia that goes into the physical, like, manifestation of our music is just as important, honestly. Like, we put as much effort into that stuff, and it's really nice to see. We're basically to be playing to a group of people, an audience who really understands that and appreciates that. That's a blessing, I guess, but it's just something that goes along with metal itself, and I think that's one of the coolest aspects of the genre and the community. As someone who, you know, makes music, it helps. Every record sale helps us, and so, you know, it's nice that we don't have to beg people to buy records. You know, they want to. That's what they do to all the bands they like. It's great.
Absolutely, man. The diehards. Now, a lot of people, how do I rephrase this? Okay, so there was this, like, people were saying that, like, in the beginning of the pandemic, like, music listening was down and streaming was down just because people aren't commuting to work. It may have, like, trickled back or bounced back or whatever, but how has your music listening been affected by the pandemic? Are you listening to more music? Are you buying less music? Are you streaming more? How has it affected you?
I always listen to a lot of music.
Okay.
I think it's kind of gone up and down over the course of the pandemic because when I'm on the road, I probably listen to less music just because I'm inundated with it, like,
yeah,
in every aspect of my day. So, like, whenever I'm, like, in my bunk or whatever, in the van, I just, like, read or something.
Yeah, like a podcast or something like that, yeah.
Yeah, totally. It's, like, it's just the last thing my ears can handle after, you know, weeks on end of, like, blaring metal is, like, more sound.
More metal.
You know? Just more metal. I'm going to listen to the most brutal. Like, I don't know. I mean, time to time I'll, like, check some stuff out, but in general, like, it's way down. But, yeah, since I'm home, I, like, especially in the last just few months, I've been trying to listen to more stuff because at home I have, like, a pretty extensive, like, modular synth, like,
nice
setup.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time I'll just do that, you know, and that can take up days and days, just, like, change a patch over the course of, like, literally days, like, have a single, like, ambient piece of music just evolving over the course of days.
Wow.
And so, you know, sometimes I'll just do that. But then after a while, I was like, I'm just all I'm listening to is, I mean, it's not like listening to your own stuff, because it's, you're almost like an abstract band director of a, like, you know, computer band.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
yeah,
kind of creates itself, and you just sort of direct it and how you want to make a change, or like the chance operations and stuff. But, you know, after a while, it's like, I need to just like actually listen to some like music that's out there. There's a whole world of stuff. So in the last few months, like midway through the pandemic, I've been like making an effort to like check more stuff out. But, you know, I still buy records. Since I felt a little more confident with going to certain places in public, like, yeah, wearing a mask and putting hand sanitizer on me and stuff, and not hanging around too long, I've been trying to buy some more records and stuff, because we've got some really good local record shops, and I try to buy my stuff in person from there, because, you know, I want to support that.
What have you been digging?
A whole lot of stuff online.
What have you been digging?
As usual, I've pretty much, like, there's, you know, 100 years of music to listen to,
yeah,
so a lot of the stuff I listen to is old.
Mm-hmm.
But as for new stuff, there's a record that just came out, like, a couple of days, 2 or 3 days ago, sometime in the last week.
Uh-huh.
It's a band called Loma. It's on Sub Pop.
Okay.
It's, like, this kind of, like, ambient, kind of pop. I hesitate to say pop. It's just, like, this kind of, like, super low-key, kind of soundscapey, folkish sort of stuff. But it's really good. I guess, according to what I read about them, they had put out a record a couple of years ago and disbanded, but, like, Brian Eno had said something about them in an interview, so they, like, got back together and made another record, which I can't think of a better reason to do something like that. But I checked it out based on the fact that Brian Eno thought it was cool.
Nice.
And I've been really enjoying it. It's, like, extremely dark, really beautiful. It's great songwriting.
How do you spell that?
Loma, Loma.
All right.
And both of their records are really good.
I'm going to have to check that out.
Yeah, fantastic. The first one's maybe darker than the new one. The new one's still pretty dark. And maybe the new one has, like, more kind of textural elements.
Yeah.
But the other one is got some really beautiful songwriting as well. It's good stuff.
All right, so now I've got some goofy questions for you, dude. We covered the heavy stuff. Now I got a couple goofy ones, okay? These are just a little fun. And, you know, if you can't think of anything off the top of your head, just get weird with me.
All right.
You're magically transported into a WWE or UFC ring. You're buff, you're ready to fight, and you have to choose a theme song. What would your theme song be to come to the ring?
Oh, man. Well, we had kind of joked around, like, saying that we wished Quicksand of Existing off the new album was, like, hope a wrestler would pick it up.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to do that, like, douche move there and just, like, pick my own song. So if no other wrestler's going to do it, I'll just pick that one.
All right. And you already own the rights to it, dude, so why not?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Code Orange is on WWE. Code Orange is on WWE.
Yeah.
So why not Paul Bearer, dude?
Exactly, man. Yeah, their stuff, like, is perfect for that sort of thing. That Code Orange album is, like, some of the most aggro music ever made. It's really ridiculous.
It's
so
awesome.
Great.
All right. So you picking your own jam. Also, would you be wearing your own band T-shirt as you come to the ring?
Until I rip it off.
Oh, there you go. Okay.
Obviously.
Nice.
Yeah. But it's spandex.
Okay.
It's not
okay.
A t-shirt.
Cool.
Yeah.
Just making sure. So we all know the big four of American thrash: Megadeth, Slayer, Metallica, Anthrax. In your opinion, this doesn't have to be the all, like, doesn't have to be, you know, all-encompassing, like, critical, but just in your opinion, what are your big four of doom metal?
Oh, man. That's kind of, it would be super biased because, like, some of the most influential stuff for me was, like, local.
Yeah.
So, you know, that like there's I've had a lot of influences from, you know, outside of that, you know, like out from around the world. But the most like genuinely impactful stuff for me were like local bands, because that was the stuff that I was able to see live when,
yeah,
when I was younger. And like, I didn't, you know, before I'd really gotten a chance to go elsewhere outside of Arkansas and, you know, see all these different bands and stuff. So I was listening to stuff like My Dying Bride and like kind of the peaceful stuff, you know, as a teenager. But once I started going to shows, like bands like Wake,
yeah,
Dead Bird, like those bands really like flipped the script for me. But like Wake and Dead Bird were definitely ones. There was another band which I can't say the name of on air. It was local. Hoop Fire is what you could say, but
okay.
it's not. But yeah, it's not poop. But they were a really sick band from here as well.
Okay,
really like influential in our sound. Honestly, like a lot of our sound is drawn from these bands. But yeah, and then I guess probably just say those three, and then and My Dying Bride for sure. That was the first like what could be considered like doom band that I'd ever heard, and nice. So it kind of like led me down that road.
And they're still putting out great music too. Their new album kicks ass.
Yeah, dude. The new My Dying Bride is great. I think it's like they're awesome, man. They've never really had a weak period. They have so much material, and I've always, you know, there's some records I like more than others,
yeah.
But they're still out there putting out great material. It's cool to see. It's also very inspiring, like, as someone who is in a band, it's like, you know, there's always this kind of, like, background fear that's like, well, you're just going to lose it eventually. Like, everyone has, like, this peak period where they put out all their best stuff, and then they just kind of, like, lose it, which happens to some bands, but, like, My Dying Bride is living proof that that's not universally the case.
It doesn't have to be that way. Exactly.
Yep.
All right, man. So I don't want to take up your whole night, obviously. So, but if you could pick a scar on your body and tell us the story of how you got that scar.
Interesting scars. Well, I have a scar on my face from a party I was at.
Okay.
In my like early 20s, I guess.
Yep.
And one of my dumbass friends, of whom I have many dumbass friends, that is also just regular friends, I guess, too, but I mean they're friends with me, so they're probably dumbasses to begin with, but we had been like, I mean, we were just like smashed, and I think we were like wrestling in my living room, mm-hmm. just like literally like crashing through all the stuff, and somebody had me like pinned down, and one of my friends was just like blackout drunk, and she hit me in the head with an enormous like bamboo stick.
Oh no.
And I like got up and was like, what the hell are you doing? What, you hit me in the face with like a boom staff basically, and so I was like bleeding everywhere.
That's hardcore.
Yeah, I don't even know that she knew what she was doing or where she was at the time. Yeah.
Sounds like a good point. Yeah,
it's not too bad of a scar, but you can see it. Oh,
sounds like a good story. Sounds like a good party,
yeah.
Man.
It was fun. It was a fun party. Just, you know, let it keep bleeding and kept drinking.
Andrew WK style.
Exactly.
So the new Paul Bearer record, again, Forgotten Days, out now on Nuclear Blast. You can order the album. You can stream it. You can order a physical copy. Support the band. Now, is there any final words you would like to say to the Northwest audience as we depart and, you know, hopefully look forward to in the future of seeing live bands? But, you know, any final words for the Northwest?
Yeah, I just want to say hi to anybody who's listening. You know, we haven't got to see in a while, and
yeah.
Miss everybody up there. The Seattle scene has always been really, really special to us, because some of the earliest bands we toured with and played shows with were from that area.
Nice.
And so, you know, like An Hedonist early on.
Oh, yeah.
Those guys, they're like, you know, it's always created a, you know, special feeling for us, and it's a really cool part of the country. So hope to make it back up there soon, and everybody stay safe and wear a mask.
Thanks a lot, man. I appreciate it. And again, killer album. Love it. And thanks again for doing the interview, man.
All right. Thank you, man. Good talking to you.
You too, man. I'll talk to you soon, okay?
All right. Take care.
Take it easy, man. Bye.
This has been Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.